There we go. All right. Thank you for that special. That's a blessing. Amen. If you would take your Bibles and open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you, Brother Lassiter, for the opportunity to give me to preach tonight. I hope we can see some things that will be a blessing to all of us. And that will help our Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll look at some verses that at the end of the chapter, because for the sake of time, and I only have 1 hour to preach, so all right, we better get with it, because time flies, amen. We all know that this chapter has to do a lot with the Lord's Supper, half of it. And we know most of the things that the chapter says about the Lord's Supper. I want us to look at verse 27 all the way up to verse 32. And I want us to look at those verses. There's always something that intrigues me, that bothered me about the Lord's Supper. Every time that we take the Lord's Supper, and it's some words in these verses that we're going to read, and I hope I can clarify some things in your mind as some things were clarified in my mind. Let's all stand as we read these verses. I'll read verse 27. Well, just follow me as I read, and we'll read from verse 27 all the way up to verse 32. The Bible says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord," and then it says, "unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily," there's that word again. How many of y'all have been bothered by that word sometimes? Raise your hand. All right? Unworthily. It says, "eateth and drinketh," says, "damnation to himself." And that's something that you got to be careful. You're not doing this because, I mean, you're bringing judgment upon yourself. And then it says, "not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." I want to speak to you this afternoon on these verses this afternoon. I was looking up some words there in verse 27 and verse 29. And some words there in verse 32 and verse 31. And, the Corinthian people were very carnal people, were ignorant people. And the Corinthian people were babes in Christ. They were carnal, and they had not grown in their relationship with Christ. They were still governed by their flesh and by themselves. And I think the Apostle Paul here, as he writes this chapter, he's helping the folks understand that having a relationship with the Lord is a serious thing. And not only having it, but keeping it is a serious thing. And it's just like marriage. The Apostle Paul tells us in chapter 7 of Romans that now we belong to Christ. We are married with Christ. Amen. A lot of times when couples divorce and separate, is because there's one word that is right there in verse 27, unworthily. That word there has to do with carelessness. Has to do with neglect, has to do with something that you don't attend to. And the Apostle Paul was trying to bring to the minds of these people that when they celebrated the Lord's Supper, they were supposed to be serious about the Lord and their relationship with the Lord. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. If we're not careful, folks, you know, we can forget of what all this thing is about. You know, the Bible tells us we ought to love the Lord with all our hearts, all our minds, all our soul, and all our strength. And, you know, and if we're not careful, you know, we can fall out of love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not careful, you can we can neglect the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. I mean, many men in the Bible did it, and many women in the Bible did it. And if we're not careful, the Bible says there in verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, or carelessly, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body." The Bible says that we belong to Christ, He belongs to us, and we belong to Him. And we are His and His only. Amen. Just like a woman when she gets married. Amen. My little girl, she's still mine. But one of these days, if the Lord tarries us coming, she's going to belong to somebody else. Well, she says she's going to go to live in the ranch with me. But I don't know about that. And, we belong to Christ. And folks, I want to challenge you tonight. You know, King David was a great guy, and the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. I mean, David was in love with God. Amen. David was in love with God, but something happened to David. You know, if you go, we're going to read a little bit in chapter 12 of Second Samuel how the Lord reminds David. And the Lord brings David back to mind and say, "Hey, David, you know, what happened? Why did you do this? Why did you do that?" You know, it has to do, guys and folks, with us being careless with our relationship with Christ. And, you know, many young people take their relationship with their parents very carelessly. They neglect to love their parents, to obey their parents, to respect their parents. And that's why they can't enjoy their parents. And that's why there's not a good relationship there. And the Lord's Supper is for us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of y'all like to get cards in your birthday? Raise your hand. You like to get cards? I have birthday cards in my office. I keep a folder of all the birthday cards that I have gotten in these last 20 years. I have a folder where I keep notes from Ricky and Mikey and Bobby and Danny and Beverly, saying, "Daddy, you're the best daddy in the world. I love you, Dad," and all kinds of things. And but you know, I like to be remembered on my birthday. You know what happens when they forget about your birthday, when they forget about you, especially your brothers, man, especially your sister. And, you know, how many of you wives get mad at your husbands when they forget your anniversary? Raise your hand. Huh? You get mad at your wife? You don't even have a wife, man. What are you talking about? All right. But I wanna speak to you a little bit. I think the Corinthian people had lost fellowship with Christ, and the Apostle Paul is trying to get these folks to say, telling them, "Hey, if you judge yourself, if you remember to check yourself out and check out your relationship with Christ, then you're not gonna be judged by other people." One of our men was telling me this afternoon. He said, "Pastor, we went to Home Depot to get a light fixture for an office, and he said, Pastor, he says, I want to let you know that I spoke to this young man in our church, and I told him that I was worried about him because of the way he was dressing to church, and the way he was looking in church. And, you know, you can tell a lot by a person's dress and how he combs his hair and if he takes things serious or not. But he said, Pastor, I just want you to know that I spoke to him. And I said, man, I said, I'm really worried about this guy too. And I said, we need to stay after him. We need to stay after him. But, you know, if we stay close to the Lord, you know, it's going to show. You know, when they talked about Peter and John walking down the streets, and they said, man, these guys have been with Jesus. I wonder what they saw. I wonder what they saw, you know, in the face of Peter and John when they said, man, these guys have been walking with Jesus. Amen? You know, they're not long-faced. They're not sourpuss. You know, they're not angry. They're happy, and they're saying hi to people, and they're enjoying themselves. And, you know, Jesus wasn't a fathead. Amen? Jesus was humble. Amen? Jesus, you know, he said hi to people. He loved people. And, you know, this passage right here is not written to angels. It's written to sinful men like you and me. And the Bible says there, it's just word for whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And I want to speak to you a little bit tonight on coming back to the Lord, and I hope it'll be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that you'd make me a blessing. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you remove me from this place and that your Holy Spirit would take over. And Father, I pray that you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I am the most unworthy person to be staying in this pulpit today. Lord, and for many years and as a teenager and as an adult, I always worried about taking the Lord's Supper because of these verses. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'll help us, Heavenly Father, to learn some things that would be a blessing to us from these verses. I pray, God, that there's anybody here that's not saved today, that they may be saved and that they might come to know you as Savior. Bless the message and the lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thought I was going to keep you standing all night, right? Amen. I like to be treated nice. You know, not everybody in the world is going to treat you nice. I was eating a Spanish soup one time here at La Mexicana when it was right here by Randall Mill. And some lady had left the church. She got mad at me. I don't know why, but she got mad at me. Amen. And I was eating. I like to take a little break, and I just like to go and sit down and enjoy some tortillas and some soup and, you know, a Diet Coke to finish it up, you know, and just kind of clean my conscience, amen, with a Diet Coke. But I was sitting and I was eating my soup like that, and all of a sudden I looked up and this lady is coming in the door. And I said, well, I said, I'm just going to be nice to her. I knew she had left the church because she was mad at me. I don't know what happened. I really don't remember what all happened, but she was mad at me. And there she comes, and I, you know, with my peripheral vision, I was looking at my soup, but I was looking at her too. And she's coming, you know, straight at me. And she stands right in front of me, and she says, well, she says, I guess that's why we are how we are. I mean, she was talking about me being fat, you know. She was saying, well, I guess that's why we are like we are. You know, and I just looked up and I said, hi, Hermana. I said, hi, sister, how are you? And she just, you know, she just like did one of these, you know, and just kept on walking. You know, she gave me one of those attitudes. And I said, man, I said, oh, well. I said, I'm just going to let the Lord take care of stuff. Amen. And I finished up my soup and I left. And I felt kind of bad, you know. But, You know, I don't like to be treated bad. Amen. I try to be a nice guy. You know, I try to be nice to people, and you know, I want people to be nice to me. But you know, I hate to be ignored. I hate to be treated bad, and that's how the Lord is. I don't think you know, the Lord likes to be ignored. I don't think the Lord likes to be I don't think he wants us to ignore what he did for us. And, you know, he did so much for us in dying on the cross and taking our sins and shedding his blood and having his body ripped apart, you know, for our sins, for our sins. And, you know, the Bible says here, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. I was thinking the Lord is not, the Lord is worthy of us remembering him. It's not talking about us, you know, we treat the Lord's Supper, but in the manner. I think this is talking about the manner that we treat the Lord's Supper, and the way that we are thinking, you know, about the Lord's Supper and how the Lord and what the Lord has done for us and in the cross of Calvary. And just like the Passover in the Old Testament, the Lord told the children of Israel, you've got to remember the Passover every year. You know, this is a symbol. This is a symbol of me taking you out of the land of Egypt because of the applied blood on the doorpost. And, you know, we're going to celebrate the Passover. And the children of Israel, thank God, you know, they started celebrating the Passover with gratefulness, with happiness, you know, with remembrance and thankfulness in their hearts. And they were, you know, excited about, you know, coming out of Egypt and going into the promised land. And they were excited, you know, to celebrate, you know, the Lord's Passover. But then it just became a monotonous thing to do every year. Instead of, you know, thinking about the Lord, they would bring their enchiladas and tacos in, you know, to Jerusalem to make business. And Jesus got sick of it. Amen? And Jesus got fed up with all that junk. And one day he just went in and said, man, this stuff's got to be over. You know, people coming to church just for business, and people coming to church just, you know, thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about God. They're not thinking about thanking God and having a humble spirit and loving God and praying and tithing and doing things to please God. And that's how the children of Israel started forgetting the Passover. We know that the Lord's Supper is a symbol, but it's a very special symbol. Amen? It's a very special symbol. I've got a wallet that belongs to my dad. When I was a teenager, about 16 years old, I bought my daddy a very thick leather wallet. And I put his name on the wallet. I put Juan there, G, and I gave it to him for Christmas. And about 2 years ago, before my sister passed away, she said, Ricky, she said, I have something special I need to give you. And I've got something special I need to give you. I always wanted, I don't know where my dad used to be he used to have a wooden leg. And I said, man, where is that wooden leg? I always tell my sister, where'd that wooden leg end up? You know, I wanted that wooden leg, you know, to show to my children, you know, my dad's wooden leg. You know, I had to carry that wooden leg all the time. My dad went to bed. He said, Ricky, come over and take that wooden leg, you know, over there and put it over there. And, you know, that wooden leg, you know, meant a lot of time with me and my dad. And man, we had, my dad and I were best friends, and we had a great time together. But I have a wallet that used to belong to my dad that I gave. My sister gave me the wallet, and I said, wow. I said, man, this is something that's special to me. You know, I gave this to my dad, and you had this, and I think my nephew, he told me last time I went to my sister's funeral, he said, Uncle, he said, you know what? He said, I think my mom had grandpa's wallet somewhere around here, and I think we need to look for it because she said she was going to give it to me. And I said, I didn't tell him that she had already given it to me. But, you know, I like to go in there, and I like to take my dad's picture. I got a picture in there of my dad, my dad's passport, and I got a picture there of my mom, and just to look at them and just remember, you know, there's a couple of bills my dad had from there, and a couple of deposits from the bank, you know, and you know, I treasure that wallet. Amen. I love that wallet. It means a lot to me. You know, it means it came from my daddy, and you know, my dad, you know, even though he was just a one-legged man, you know, he taught me how to work. He provided for me. He cooked for me. He washed for me. He did all kinds of things, and it has to do, you know, that has a big, it means a lot to me, and that's what the Lord's Supper ought to mean to us. Amen. That bread, we know that it symbolizes the body of Christ. Amen. The perfect body of Christ. Amen. That never sinned, never lied, never did anything wrong. And that bread symbolizes that Jesus went through a lot. He fulfilled the law for us. Jesus, the end of the law. He was a perfect Son of God for us. Amen. But he gave his life for us. Amen. His blood that was shed there on Calvary. His blood that was taken by him when he resurrected and went and ascended up to heaven and was placed before God, you know, to atone, to complete the atonement for our sins. You know, we ought to remember those things with gratefulness, you know, with humbleness. And it ought to mean something special to us. Amen. But if we're not careful, folks, we can get cold, indifferent, you know, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord's Supper, you know, can become something, you know, that means nothing to us if we're not careful. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I want us to look at David, the Lord, when the Lord starts dealing with David. I think David started being careless, and you know, with his relationship to God, to His Word, to His Spirit, to what God had done for him, to what God, you know, had been doing for him. And David, you know, when we get away from the Lord, you know, the devil and sin has a way of coming and getting into our lives, and messing up our lives. And making us cold and indifferent. If we go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, that's where Nathan comes to David and he tells him a sad story about a rich man taking a poor man's lamb and giving it to his friends that come, you know, to visit him. And we go to verse 7. And then Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel." Amen. The Bible says that he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. "And I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul." Thank God that he delivers us out of all our troubles. Amen. "And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things." And then the Lord comes to David and he says, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord?" Why have you despised it? You know, what does despise mean? Despise means to ignore. Amen. To be careless and neglect my commandment. You know, the Lord says to David, "David, Why did you despise? You counted my word as a zero. You didn't care about it, not even one, 30 seconds. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? Then it says to do evil in his sight. And has killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. And has taken his wife to be thy wife. And has slain with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. Because thou hast despised me. And has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes. And give them unto thy neighbors, and he shall lie with thy wife in thy sight of this, in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. You know, folks, for 9 months, David hadn't said those words. Bathsheba was about to have her baby from David from their adulterous relationship. And David, for 9 months, had been cold to the Lord. You hadn't heard David say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I want to be in your temple. Lord, I love your word. Lord, I love to be beside you. Lord, you're my shield. Lord, you're my buckler. Lord, you're my strength. Lord, you're my friend. Lord, you... David hadn't said anything like that for 9 months, folks. Until he's confronted with his sin. Why? Because David, the Bible says, had despised the word of God. David had despised the Lord himself. David had gotten a bad spirit and said, you know what? Hey, I can do whatever I want to do. It's not, nobody's going to catch me. Nothing's going to happen to me. You know, it's going to be okay. And, the Lord's not even looking at me. And, you know, who cares about pleasing God or having a relationship with God? And folks, David despised the Lord. And David despised the commandment of the Lord. He didn't want to keep God's word anymore. He didn't care about obeying the Lord. You know, he didn't care about, being humble and being submissive to God and giving God, rule over his life and let God govern his, his decisions and his life. And we all know Psalms 51, if you go with me to Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51. Maybe the Corinthian people had the same problem. You know, fighting with each other. They didn't care about obeying the Lord. You know, being in immoral relationships. They didn't care about keeping God's commandments. You know, they didn't care about loving God. They just cared about themselves. You know, having their own way and my way or the highway. And they were fighting and fussing with each other. And you know what the root problem was? The root problem was that God, they were not close to God. And they were not serious with God in their hearts. Do you remember when you were careful with your words? Do you remember when you were careful in keeping God's commandments? Do you remember when you were careful to go soul winning? Do you remember when you were careful to obey God and giving Him His tithe? Do you remember those days, that first love? That first love? Look with me in Psalms chapter 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. We know here that David was confronted with his sin. And here, folks, we see, listen up, David's heartfelt, repentance and closeness to God again. You know, for 9 months, David, hadn't been, close to God, and his sin, had gotten in between him and God for 9 months. And that's why he wasn't in love with God. You know, he had messed up with Bathsheba, and he had killed, her husband. And David, had put God's word away, and he wasn't close to the Lord. And folks, the devil, if we're not careful, can ruin our lives and cause us to be cold and indifferent in remembering the Lord and having a relationship with the Lord. Why do people take the Lord's Supper unworthily? Because their heart is not into it. Well, it's not if it was us, none of us are worthy of the Lord. None of us are worthy of salvation. None of us are worthy, to be saved and to go to heaven. None of us are worthy. I always thought, man, I'm not worthy to drink the Lord's Supper. I'm still a sinful man. But it's not talking about that. It's talking about how reverently, how lovingly, how faithfully, how serious, how careful you are to keep your relationship with God. When a husband starts neglecting his wife and his wife starts neglecting her husband, there's that spirit that she says, well, he's not worthy, for me to do this for him. Or he says, well, she's not worthy. I really don't care about her. And that's where everything starts, folks. That's where everything starts. And when a Christian begins that same thing with his relationship with God, just one day without the Bible, just one day without going soul winning, just one day without praying and tell Jesus that I love him, just one day when I, get to do this and do that without, God approving your life. You can get discouraged. You can get defeated. You can get, backslidden because, of a cold heart. The Bible says that we have to be faithful to God. Amen. Just like God says for a woman to be faithful to her husband and her husband to be faithful to his wife. And they're supposed to keep a heart, a warm heart towards each other. And brother, when that cold heart starts getting in, that's when everything starts messing up. That's when everything starts messing up. When you cook something without a heart, wife, your husband's going to notice it. When you start doing things, for your wife without a heart and just doing them for doing them, without a heart, without having a relationship with God, and without really saying, God, I love you. So one of the things that I love to do on Sunday morning is to take my tithing envelope and to look at it and to say, Lord, you are worthy of all this tithe and of all this money. Folks, have you gotten away from that tender heart and that loving, heart that you're supposed to have for God? If you're not careful, you can treat the Lord unworthily. And remember him unworthily. He's worthy, folks. Amen? He's worthy of every ounce of strength, everything that we do. He's worthy of everything. Amen? But, we can become like David. And if we're not careful, folks, we're saved. Yes, thank God we're saved, but we can still sin. And when you start giving in to sin and temptation, and you get away from God, the Bible tells us that if we pray and if we watch him pray, the Lord's going to keep us away from temptation. But if you don't watch and you don't pray, brother, you're going to go straight into temptation. Temptation is not sin, but temptation, will take you into sin. And once you get into sin, then you get into death. And that's when you have a cold relationship with God. And until you fix that relationship with God, then you're going to have a cold heart from, between you and the Lord. That's how David was in his relationship with the Lord. sin can take away, you know, your joy, and he can deceive you and destroy you, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically, you know, spiritually. Sin can really tear up our lives if we're not careful. I had to bury a 23-year-old young man that graduated from our institute. It hurt me so much to bury that young man. We stayed after him. He'd come to church, he'd go back. He'd come to church, he'd go back to the world. Come to church, go back to the world. Until there was no coming back to church. You know, the Bible says that some were weak. Some were sleeping. Amen? Why? Because, you know, God said, hey, you know, that's it. You start, you're playing around with me. You're goofing around. You're not serious with me. Here we see David asking the Lord to cleanse him from sin. Why? Because sin will make you, and, you know, will make you feel dirty and uncomfortable. Sin will make you feel so dirty, and, you know, even though everything is okay around you, you know, you're not going to be comfortable. How many of you, you know, my mom used to tell me, you know, we had an outside bathroom, and I hated taking baths because, you know, we didn't have an indoor, you know, shower. We had a hose, you know, that we had to pull, you know, in a little shed and, you know, shower up with a hose, man. It was cold out there. Amen. But sometimes, you know, I had black stuff all over my neck. And my mom was screaming at me, hey, you know, you need to go take a shower. You're dirty, man. You stink. I said, Mom, I don't want to take a bath. She chased me with a belt. Amen. But folks, you know, sin will dirty up our lives. You've heard about that man in you know, thought everybody stunk. You know, he'd get close to people and he'd say, man. He'd get close to people and he'd smell a little bit and he'd say, man, these people stink. You know, he'd get over here and, you know, he'd get over here and he'd smell a little bit and he'd say, man, these people stink. And, you know, he thought everybody stunk, but it wasn't the people. You know, it was the rotten cheese that he had in his mustache, you know, that stunk. And a lot of times, folks, you know, you say, man, you know, this person, you're uncomfortable with this person and this person. You know, but the Bible says, listen up, if we would examine ourselves, people wouldn't say, hey, why you got a bad attitude today? You know, why are you acting like that today? Man, why can't you be happy? Why can't you smile? Why can't you, you know, thank God and be excited that you're alive? You know, sin dirties our lives. And it makes us uncomfortable. You know, in verse 3, in Psalm 51, it says, for I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. You know, sin will occupy your mind until you deal with sin. You know, the Bible tells us over there you know, we're going to be guilty of the Lord's cup and of the Lord's body. You know, when a person, you know, one of the worst things that you can carry with you, yes, sin brings sorrow, but sin brings guilt. And brother, guilt will tear you up until you get it right with God. You know, if you carry it for 9 months, you know, David probably didn't write a psalm, you know, all those 9 months. He probably didn't even write a word about God those 9 months. Why? Because his heart was dirty. His mind was dirty. And brother, when guilt, you know, stays in your mind, it, you know, it messes up your life, you know, your concentration, you know, your prayer life, your appetite for God. Guilt will eat you up. Verse 4, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You know, David said, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Sin, you know, not only will fill up your mind. Sin will dirty up your soul. Sin will keep your conscience, you know, bothered. Why? Because David said, against thee, thee only, have I sinned. How do you like to be close to the people that you offended? Do you like to get close to people that you offend? Don't. How do you feel? Huh? You know, David loved the Lord. But when David offended God, you know, when David offended God, it meant a lot to him then when he repented. You know, reconciliations, even between parents and children and husbands and wives, they're so sweet. Amen? They're so sweet. And, you know, but sin will bother your conscience. Why? Because you are hurting God. David said, Lord, against thee only have I sinned. You know, David, you know, God, he started feeling, man, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I sinned against you. I've done wrong. And folks were getting away, you know, from people, you know, realizing that they have sinned against God and they don't want to repent. They don't want to say, Lord, I'm sorry. They say things, they do things against God, against people, and they don't like to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Jesus taught his disciples, hey, when you go to prayer, you need to confess, brother. You need to confess. Look around you. See what you've done and confess. You know, sin, verse 8, saddens your heart. It says, make me to hear joy and gladness. David hadn't rejoiced, hadn't laughed with a whole heart, you know, for 9 months. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David had lost his joy, had gotten away from God. Sin had gotten into his life. He was a miserable person on earth. Sin will sicken your body. You know, the Bible says there that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Sin will affect you physically. Sin will sour your spirit. In verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David had a haughty heart, had a haughty spirit. He did. David had an ungrateful spirit. God said, I gave you the kingdom. I gave you all this, man. And what about this, this, and this, and this? For you to treat me like that, David, and ignore me, ignore my words, and to treat me like a, you know, like a nobody. But David had a bad spirit. And folks, we've got to be careful. You know, we can get cantankerous, critical. We can get sour. You know, we can become judgmental and come to church and not be affected by the Word of God. And we can be miserable in our lives. Why? Because, you know, sin, if we allow sin to come into our lives, what is sin? Sin is not pleasing the Lord. Man, sin is not hitting the mark. Disobeying God. Hey, most of us know what we ought to do. Yeah. You know what we ought to do with the Bible, with soul winning, with tithing, and, you know, loving people and forgiving people and helping people. We know. But a lot of times we just have a haughty attitude. We have an ungrateful spirit. And in verse 13, you know, then will I teach transgressions, thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God. Thou, my God, my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips. You know, what does sin do? Sin closes your lips so that you won't praise God and won't talk to other people about the Lord. Maybe that's your condition today. Maybe you've neglected your relationship with the Lord, and maybe sin has entered into your life and you've tolerated it. You haven't repented. You haven't done a serious repenting with God, and maybe that's why you feel so cold against the Lord. You know, the Lord, thank God that the Lord loves us and he cares for us. Amen. And what does God want us to do? The Bible says there in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Thank God, folks, that if we humble ourselves and fix our relationship with God, you know, you can go so long. You know, we learn the mechanics of Christianity, and you know, but you know, when the tears go away, when there's really no gratefulness and happiness and joy in your heart, you know, a lot of times it's because, you know, we've neglected our relationship with God and allowed some kind of sin to get in our minds, our hearts, and ruin our lives. What do we need to do? We need to realize that God loves us. We need to realize that we need to confess before God and get it right before the Lord and be honest before the Lord. And we need to ask God to cleanse our hearts. Amen. The Bible says there in verse 7, Lord, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. I believe that David came back to a relationship with God to where he really loved God and appreciated God and thanked God, to where, you know, his relationship with God was not anymore unworthy. He was remembering and loving God like he should and obeying God and being, staying close to God and being humble, you know, with the Lord. I think a lot of us have gone through times like that, folks. And maybe you are there today. I don't know if you've told Jesus that you love him today. I don't know if you've gotten closer to him and thanked him for just living and for the food and keeping that grateful spirit. You know, when we stay close to the Lord, it seems like every day I visit a lady in Los Robles trailers. She's a widow. Her husband used to be a preacher. He used to be some, you know, he wasn't a Baptist, but he said, Brother Ricky, you know, she's kind of excited, you know, and she comes from a Pentecostal background, and I've been dealing with her, you know, I've been telling her, I said, Sister, I said, this is what the Bible says about tongues, you know, and she got in the car the other day, and you know, she said, Brother Ricky, she said, man, I'm so happy. And she started going, blah, 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 blah. And I said, what did you say? I said, what does that mean? She said, well, I am just so excited. I said, well, sister, you know what the Bible says. The Bible says if you're going to talk like that, you got to interpret. And you know, I've been dealing with, she knows I love her. She knows I love her. And she told me the other day, she said, Brother Ricky, she said, sometimes I get so excited just by myself with me and Jesus that I celebrate the Lord's Supper every day. She said, man, I get a piece of bread and I got my grape juice right here in the refrigerator. She said, and I celebrate the Lord's Supper every day. Brother, you know, maybe we need to do that, you know. That way we won't forget the Lord. And remember that we have somebody that loves us and that we ought to love him and stay close to him and enjoy a relationship with him. May God help us not to celebrate the Lord's Supper unworthily. I hope Jesus means something to you. I hope that his death means something to you. I hope that he shedding his blood for your dirty, stinking, rotten, filthy sin means something to you. You know, sometimes when I look at myself, I say, Lord, man, I'm so unworthy. I don't deserve to be a pastor. I don't deserve a good wife, good kids. I don't deserve anything. When I'm driving by myself, I said, Lord, look at this white pickup you've given me. Man, this is awesome. I said, only a God like you can be so merciful to a bum like me. Only you. A dirty monkey wouldn't do that for me. You know, folks, it's so good to keep a heart, you know, for the Lord. And church and the Lord and just the Bible you know, being with the folks and loving church. Man, you know, when you get away from the Lord you know, when you get away from you know, loving the Lord, you know, a lot of things start happening in your life. And you become critical, man. You get bitter. Everything, you know, messes you up. But folks, let's celebrate today. Let's tell him we love him and thank him for what he did for us. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for today, for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Lord, who loved us so much. And Lord, sought for us among the heathen. And Lord, saved me and forgave me. Lord, so many people were so surprised that you would save a sinner like me. My family was so surprised. They're always surprised. But Lord, it's because of your mercy. And it's because of your grace. And it's because of your love that we get to enjoy life and salvation and your Holy Spirit and your Word. And Lord, so many blessings. And God, help us not to get that place where David, God, Lord, where you didn't matter anymore and your word didn't matter anymore. And Lord, all the thing that mattered was his life, his passion, his pleasure. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for we failed thee so much. I pray this afternoon, Heavenly Father, that you help us to return to that first love. And Lord, fall in love with you. With our heads bowed.